Y'all, welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm not aware of too many things, but I know what I know, and I'll share it with you every day from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Talk universe. You can always listen at civicmedia.us. You can go grab the app for free from wherever you like to get your apps. And most importantly, if you're doing that, WAUK, my home station, my home skillet where I broadcast from as your home station, and check it out. You can listen in southeastern Wisconsin at 5:40 a.m. But again, all across the state, we got coverage. You can find your home station again at civicmedia.us or on the app. Again, as I began our show today, it is so important, your participation. And we had a great call and question yesterday from one of my regular callers. Asked me about what the corporate tax rate has been over time and the proportion of revenue, federal government revenue, tax revenues from corporate income taxes over time. And guess what? There's little graphs and statistics on this that people can look up. And so I did. I love it when y'all give me homework assignments. And you can join our conversation this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is also top of mind because today I had been invited to speak at my alma mater at Marquette University at their College of Business, brand new, beautiful business building on the corner of 16th and Wisconsin, about regulatory economics, which sounds like a real snooze, but I tell you, it is where all the action is, because everything around us that impacts your quality of life on a day-to-day basis is basically being impacted in some way or another by regulations. If you think of any law or system of laws, is a system of regulations, right? And so there's become this sort of American zeitgeist where regulations are talked about from sort of one side of the spectrum as if they're inherently bad. Now, that's stupid. Regulations themselves aren't good or bad. The question always should be, why are we regulating things? Who's deciding? And what is the purpose of the regulation? What is the objective? What is the result that we wish to see from the regulation? And then are we assessing whether or not that regulation is indeed bringing about that result? Now, to me, one of the things that freaks me out the most about the Trump administration isn't the crazy appointments, right? They're crazy. And we'll maybe get to RFK and no more fluoride in our waters and like the full employment boom for dentists that apparently he's pitching. But it's not the appointments. What really scares me is this trifecta of potential problems. And that is the gutting of civil service, the overruling of the Chevron doctrine, which said that courts should defer to a regulation made by one of our regulatory agencies, i.e., that is created by experts to fill gaps in laws passed by Congress and signed by the president, when that rule is reasonable. And when the rule or the regulation is filling indeed a gap in the law. That's the Chevron deference. Well, the Supreme Court this past term, in addition to declaring presidents kings and bribes legal in government, also got rid of that deferential standard. I'm going to probably get to that in this half hour, but I'll talk about this again. So we've got the gutting of civil service. We've got no more deference to experts making rules under the Administrative Procedure Act, which includes the note and comment period, all that kind of stuff. No more deference, which means Article III judges who are not subject matter experts are basically going to decide which regulations are good and which are not. And listen, I don't want a guy without an MD telling me which drugs are safe for me to take. I want experts at the FDA doing that. And then third and finally, as part of all of this, is the threat to decent data. because how would we ever analyze whether or not a regulation is doing what it should if we don't have good data? And one of the things that the federal government actually is quite exceptional at is data collection and data transparency. Now, they don't do it perfectly, and there are certain things that are woefully absent from their data collection. For example, they do not collect data on the racial demographics of auditing by the IRS. Wonder why that is. But I digress. In general, the federal government is quite extraordinary at the collection of data. It's what allows the Congressional Budget Office to provide nonpartisan fiscal analyses of different legislation. It's what allows the Bureau of Labor Statistics to provide data that economists, for good or bad, analyze to help us understand how our economy is doing. It's the data that allows the Fed to craft monetary and fiscal policy to help steady our economy and grow our GDP. It's the data that will help us measure what the impact of Trump's across-the-board 20, 200, or 2,000% tariffs are on the middle class. And if you wanted to promote a regulatory environment or a deregulatory environment that benefited your billionaire bro buddies and burdened the middle class and working people more, and you wanted to be able to lie about those impacts all the time, one, you'd fire all the experts that are civil servants. Two, you make sure that the courts don't have to listen to the few remaining experts that remain. And three, you'd stop collecting data. So that's what I'm worried about. At a really basic governmental day-to-day functioning area. It's one of the things that I want us, all of us, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or a whatever it is these days, to care about, is good data and good analysis. Because in the end, we should have some fidelity to, does the law produce the outcome that we are promised when that regulation or law has been enacted? It is at the root, the very mechanism by which we hold our elected officials accountable. And so if you don't have good data and you don't have good civil servant experts, how are we going to know if what this next administration is doing is actually working for the middle class and working poor folks in this country? So with that, I wanted to talk about not just regulations in that meta sense, but to get into what I think are fundamentally some of the most important regulations in a capitalist democracy. And the first one is the protection of private property. You do not have capitalist democracies if you do not have the legal protections around private property. But secondly, and perhaps just as importantly, are the regulations that surround and how tax policy is executed in the country, because that's how the government funds itself. Everything else is basically secondary to the protection of private property, as well as what is tax policy in a democracy. Tax policy expresses all of our values. So the question yesterday from one of my regular on point, which was, again, to refresh our recollection, hey, Maggie, what has happened to the amount of revenue that the federal government collects that is collected specifically from corporations? In other words, what percentage of federal revenue over the last 50 years has come from corporate income tax? This question is especially important because, of course, Donald Trump in 2017 reduced taxes for billionaires and 100 millionaires and corporations. And yes, through the middle class, a small bone. But in terms of gross dollar amount, absolute dollar amount, the biggest winners by far were the really, really, really rich and the really, really, really powerful and profitable corporations. He reduced that tax rate. And one of his cornerstone proposals for his second administration, which will have no check or balance because both houses of Congress are now Republican, is to reduce taxes further for both corporations and billionaires and 100 millionaires. So to give you the raw data here, this is based on the data from the Congressional Budget Office. Okay, specifically their report called the Budget and Economic Outlook 2023 to 2033, which was published in February of 2023, as well as the Office of Management and Budget, their historical tables, the budget of the United States government for fiscal year 2024, published in March of 2023. The revenue collected from corporate income taxes was at about 5.5% measured as a percentage of GDP. Okay, revenue from corporate income taxes in 1954 was about 5.5% of GDP. It is currently at less than 2. It is currently at less than 2%. So that is the short answer to our friend who asked this very, very important question. In the United States of America, by far the greatest amount of revenue on a year-over-year basis that funds everything from the military to a border wall to education funding to clean water funding, whatever it is, the vast majority of U.S. revenues come from individual income taxes. It's nearly half. So just step back and think about that for just a minute. Wow. Okay. Corporate taxes as a percent of GDP have as a percentage of GDP over time has gone down precipitously. As a source of revenue measured as a percentage of revenue, individual income taxes are just under 50% of federal government revenue. Corporate taxes, 6%. Now, individually, and corporations pay also social insurance taxes, like Social Security taxes, Medicare, Medicaid, that kind of stuff. But again, income taxes nearly 50, corporate taxes in 2023, 6.5%. The next question you might think to yourself, Maggie, is, well, how does that compare to other large westernized democracy? One group of those countries is the OECD. So what is the U.S. share of revenue, the sources, how does that compare to the OECD countries' average? Okay, really critical metric. And here's what. Whereas the United States gets nearly half of all of its revenue from individual income taxes, the OECD average is under 25%. And whereas the U.S. gets only about 6.5% of its revenue from corporate taxes, the OECD average is nearly double that. Big, big, massive differences here. I'm going to dig into some other facts about taxes and why this matters so deeply to you when we come back. My friend Matt from Middleton on the text line is mentioning the very thing that I was going to say next. And I love it when y'all are smarter than I am. It's fabulous. He reminds us all of this. Thanks, Matt. Warren Buffett once said this: if corporations were taxed properly, the majority of us, the regular people, working middle class, even upper middle class folks, would be able to pay much, much less in taxes. And looking at these various metrics, that's showing you why. I'm going to talk more about that and the billions that the largest, most profitable corporations stand to gain yet again if Donald Trump gets his way with the taxes and giving giveaways to his billionaire bros like Elon Musk. We're going to take care of all of that when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Go get that app. Tell your friends about Civic. Spread the word. It's where we make economics and tax policy fun, or at least attempt to every day. Keep it locked, folks. I'll be back in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network.